I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson, I'm your host. It is Monday, October 18th. We got some Monday night football. It's going to be a little mystery Monday night, spooky season, right? It's Halloween-ish. Joining me, let's find out what Sully's going to be for Halloween. What's up, Sully? Joining me to break down the Monday Night Football show, Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what are you, because there's this weird void where you're, you know, you don't really care. Like, you're doing adult Halloween is my question, right? Like, you're not Halloween's still fun for you. Halloween's fun for me, but just in a different way now.
Yeah, see, I'm actually teetering on, like, you know, your type of fun Halloween. So I have a house now, so I'm you know.
Oh, you have. All right, so you're in that. This is the first space, like, kids come to your house.
Yeah. So this is the first time.
And you don't really know how. You're like, here's some Kit Kats, small children.
So, like, you know, we're excited about it just because, like, yeah, we have a dead end street. So we think it's going to be kind of, you know, kind of cool. We had a very intense discussion of, do we want to be the king size house, king size candy bar house?
Oh.
Because if you do it once, you get that reputation forever. And now we have to keep doing it. So it's just one of those things where I don't know.
Look at this. This is the maniac who tore apart. I was telling you before the show, George has entered the chat. Look at this dog's eyes. I mean, what are we doing here?
I mean, you know, when they rip through the trash, I mean, how can you get mad for too long?
Yeah. He's come up to rip through some stuff. He like George, like Robbie, my dog, like Robbie, my son, have realized that when I'm have earphones on and I'm yelling at a microphone in, you know, shorts and a button up shirt, that is the ultimate leverage time to get whatever they want, because I am at, you know, I'm the most vulnerable that I will be. Throughout the course of the day.
But well, yes, it's okay. I'm dog sitting too. I got a beast next to me, so it's all right.
George is now going to eat a Snickers, apparently.
Well, that's good. It's the trick or treat season, I guess.
Yeah. I guess it's like, apparently we've got Snickers at Halloween here. We're going to be Robbie is going to be in Among Us. Do you know about Among Us?
Oh yeah. I know that. Yep.
Yeah, aren't you hip if you know about Among Us?
Oh, yeah.
And he wants me to be in a full, I probably shouldn't tell the podcast listener this. He wants me to dress up in a full body, a skeleton bodysuit.
Okay. All right.
Which, you know, I mean, maybe 25-year-old me would have been fine with that, or even 35-year-old me. 40-year-old me is not doing it.
I never really, you know, this is going to sound like I'm a curmudgeon. I never really loved dressing up for Halloween when I was a kid. Because my parents would, and I'm wearing glasses now, but I don't need to wear glasses. I have LASIK, so I can, you know, I do it just to really read. But
I do it just to look smarter.
Well, not really, but sure, it does help. But sure. When I was younger, I needed glasses all the time, and my parents would always buy me, you know, masks and stuff, and they'd fog up. I'd be running around, I'd be like, this stinks. I can't even pay attention.
Oh yeah, so if you needed glasses and you couldn't really see, so you didn't. I didn't really love Halloween as a kid either, I guess. I liked it better as an adult.
Early
20s, and then again later in your late 20s, early 30s. And now it's a magical time with the kid. You know, you get to, you know, grab a beer, walk around the neighborhood, but it is. I'll tell you what, you know what sucks? People are like, shut up and talk about the freaking game. But the thing that sucks about Halloween now with kids is, because, like, it's going to be on Sunday night.
Yeah.
My son is going to eat 40 pounds of candy on Sunday night. And I'm going to be up here, you know, working. I'm working very hard up here. Thank you. And my wife is going to have to deal with a sugar-induced, like, insane person trying to get him to sleep and get to school on Monday. So next Monday. Oh, 2 Mondays from now. Yeah, 2 Mondays from now. I don't know why we're talking about
it. Start calling these the Halloween games. That's, you know, once you get to this part of October, they're all the Halloween games.
Yeah, if I got to listen to the progressive family every single Sunday, then you know what? It's the Halloween season. All right, let's get to this game. It is Bills and Titans. Pretty big AFC matchup, but the Buffalo Bills have descended upon Nashville. The fans have, anyway. The videos on social media are wild to see. Bills fans everywhere packing bars, packing Titans bars, and the Bills are -6 at Tennessee, over under 53.5. The primary storyline in terms of this game right now, Sully, is that A.J. Brown was added on Sunday afternoon, or maybe was it before the 1 p.m. kickoffs? I know I'm playing against A.J. Brown in one fantasy league, and that there was no way the owner, in fact, the owner of the team is Heath Cummings, a fantasy expert at CBSSports.com, and there was no way Heath could have gotten A.J. Brown out of his lineup because that was the tie. Like, he had...
I think it was in between, it was going into the 4 p.m. games. I believe that was where it was. It was out, you know, in between the 1 p.m. games, kind of finishing up, going into that
late afternoon. It wasn't like at 11:30 in the morning or anything. It was in the afternoon where it was suddenly... The Titans reported that A.J. Brown is questionable with an illness. And I heard third hand that via like some Tennessee radio person, basically that they're essentially saying we're going to limit his snaps for this game. And so as a result, the odds haven't changed. The over under is still 53.5. The spread is 6, but when we get to these props, it's going to be difficult to talk about because it's more or less all the Tennessee pass catchers are off the board at Caesars. As far as the game itself goes, having done enough of these shows, Sully, with you over the past few weeks, I'm going to assume you're taking the Bills.
Yes, taking the Bills here. I mean, come on now. I mean, you got to love the spot there. And again, I even liked them even before all this A.J. Brown stuff with the illness. Yeah. We thought that, you know, we were doing some research here. Obviously, he hasn't been that impactful this year. He's been dealing with some injuries. He had the knee surgery thing over the course of the offseason. And there were reports that they were going to limited snaps because of the injuries more so than anything else. He even admitted that he might be on a limited snap count all the way into week 10 due to the injury. Obviously, the illness is another whole layer to all this. But again, when you're missing that type of a weapon in an offense, and again, you have Derrick Henry, you have Julio Jones, there are guys there, but clearly he is someone that can really make this passing game going. When you're going into a game with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills offense rolling the way they are, you're going to need all hands on deck. So to me, again, I love the Bills in this spot. You know, obviously, you know, Bills Mafia will probably be down in Nashville getting after it pretty good on Broadway, so they'll have some sort of, you know, not home field advantage, but
I don't think it's going to be a Tennessee.
You'll definitely see them represented well.
It'll be like, when you go to an opposing your rival's stadium, and you hear I think there's a decent chance we hear "Let's go Bills" or like Josh Allen has a huge game. It's like MVP, MVP.
Well, I'll tell you, I was at the Patriots Cowboys game yesterday, and there was the Dallas fans. Credit to them, they traveled well. You could hear a lot of Coop chants and all that stuff for Amari Cooper. Like, yeah, it was, they were really getting after it. So,
wow, hey. Cowboys fans everywhere across the country, huh? Who would have thought that?
but for the Bills, quickly, you know, just because, you know, we're talking about the road team and all of that, they are 6-1 against the spread in their last 7 road games. So they do not only travel well with their fans, but they do play well on the road as well.
It's a scary team. Like, Buffalo is rolling right now. Yeah. If you look at Football Outsiders defense, they are number one coming into this week, and Football Outsiders doesn't update until I think Tuesday after the game. So this is not including week 6, but Buffalo's defense. So DVOA, for those that haven't listened to this podcast for very long, DVOA is negative. So the lower the number, the better your defense is. The number 3 team in DVOA, the Saints, coming into this week, -15.8. The number 2 team, -16.6. The number 1 team, Buffalo, -43.2. That is a enormous difference, Sully. Like, it is, they're literally twice as good on defense as the next best team. And this isn't some fluke where the Bills magically figured something out and the defense got better. Their defense has been good for like the last 5 years, except with the exception of last year, which was just a weird season in general. The Bills defense didn't play well. He gave up a ton of yards, and then they come back and they draft Boogie Basham and they draft Gregory Rousseau and they get bigger on the defensive line. That was their plan this offseason. They do this every year. They come into the season with a plan. They go into the offseason with a plan to improve XX. And part of that was to be able to rush Patrick Mahomes with four guys and sit back in coverage. They're just really good, and they're not bad on offense either. Is the like this is a really good team. I don't see how you could. I mean, I know it's a Monday night game and it's a home game for the Titans, and they have a lot at stake and they need this win because the Colts are sort of knocking on the door. I can't, especially after getting my doors beat in, blown in yesterday by all these underdogs not covering. I just have a hard time getting to the Titans here. If I was going to bet against the spread, I would tease the Bills, I think. Maybe with the Broncos on Thursday.
Yeah.
That's you can make the Broncos. Ooh, you can make the Broncos like plus 12. And the Bills will pick them, and the Bills just have to win. Yeah. And the loves to do these same game teasers. If I'm teasing this, it's Bills and the over. I mean, I feel like a friggin' donkey. We say this every week, but I mean, I don't see how you can take the under or the Titans in this spot, knowing that AJ Brown just doesn't look. I mean, he's going to be limited. I mean, like, they don't have a ton on offense.
Yeah, well, that's my biggest fear with taking the over there a little bit. Obviously, the Bills. We've seen them have, you know, they can hang 40 on a weekly basis. You know, their offense, you know, we know what they are. The Titans, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. All of a sudden, if you're looking at a scenario where, you know, Buffalo gets out to a 20-point lead in this game, that you're pretty much cutting the head off the snake in terms of Derrick Henry being the focal point of your offense. You kind of got to switch it up a little bit, start moving the ball through the air down the field. And if there's no A.J. Brown or a limited A.J. Brown, you're asking a lot of Julio Jones. You're asking a lot of Anthony Firkser, or you're asking a lot of Ryan Tannehill to really put these points on the board against the defense, as you've been pointing out, is very good this season, number one in DVOA. So to me, that's probably a scenario where you see this trending under it. You know, you could see it, you know, almost would remind me of the Philadelphia Buccaneers game last week, where, you know, it looked like everything was going to start to, you know, really bust open and hit the over. But all of a sudden, things started to slow down later in the game, and it just doesn't really mesh out well for them. You know, Buffalo can continue to run the ball with Zach Moss, Devin Singletary. They can move the ball that way to kill clock. The only way that I could see Tennessee kind of remaining in this game again is it would have to be a dominating display from Derrick Henry that keeps Josh Allen off the field. That's the only way that you could see that maybe shaping out in favor of Tennessee there.
Yeah, and we'll get to the DFS stuff portion of the program after at the end of the show. It'll be on YouTube only, youtube.com/pick6. Fun stuff happening over there, by the way. Last night on the live stream recap, in which I appeared to lose my brain multiple times, we did give away a Brinson Sucks hat.
Ooh.
So that's exciting. Yes, one lucky podcast listener/watcher is going to get the a very hat that currently graces my house that says Brinson Sucks on it, because, you know, why not? The Bills rank out as the 12th best offense in football. The Titans are just the 21st best offense. This may not surprise you. When you split it out in terms of how the Titans offense operates, they are 26th in the pass game, but 10th in the run game. That is the pathway. But to your point, I mean, there is, you know, when you look at these football games, like the Jets beat the Rams last year, right? I mean, weird upsets happen in football all the time. The Titans are at home. They're being told by us, by a lot of people, that they can't win. So, you know, I can't get there mentally right now, but there is definitely a pathway for the Titans to win. And you're right. I think it involves some fluke turnovers and a whole lot of Derrick Henry. So we'll talk about that when it comes to player props and DFS after we take a quick break. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I don't feel like I gave a definitive pick there, so I'll just say that if I'm betting this, I'm probably like just taking the under and player props. I don't know that I want to get in front of the Bills. I mean, the Bills could beat the brakes off these guys. That's the thing.
And you look at quickly, if you look at the Bills this season, you were talking a lot about DVOA and stuff like that. But if you look at their, their overall, how much are they covering the spread by on average? It's 15 points. I mean, it's a remarkable number. And again, a lot of that was credit to their blowout over the Texans, where it was like 40-0. That obviously kind of changes things a little bit, but still, cover's a cover. And they are one of the best in the league right now. I think that they're 4-1 against the spread this season. I think that
Cowboys are undefeated against the spread.
Cowboys undefeated.
It's maybe the best. I mean, to your point, the other thing about Buffalo that's a little scary if you're going to take the Titans. And I realize the sharp thing or whatever to do is probably to take the Titans in the points at home on Monday night. Buffalo throws early and often. They throw on early downs. They are aggressive down the field, and they're not afraid to hang one on you.
Yeah.
They were smoking the Texans and kept scoring unnecessarily. Even Mitchell Trubisky got in on the action. It was unfair and mean. I don't think they'll do that to the Titans tonight, but
when you can unleash the MVP, you have to do it, right?
The MVP. I love it. That's NWNBC. MVP. You're see private parts, Howard Stern?
I know. Either.
Okay. Yeah, you got it. Pig vomit. Anywho, let's get to the player props. Josh Allen, over 2.5 passing touchdowns plus 150. Kind of a blind bet right there. As we mentioned, a lot of these receiving yards are not going to be up because AJ Brown questionable, and as a result there's a trickle-down effect on Julio Jones, Josh Reynolds, the only pass catcher. There's two pass catchers for the Titans in the receiving yards prop. We have Derrick Henry, who's total, this may be a career high for Derrick Henry, set at 13.5, and Anthony Firkser at 24.5. Henry also set at 97.5 rushing yards, which is a pretty crazy number. Are there any props that stand out to you, Sully? Understanding for the podcast people that we don't have a full slate of props available to us.
Right. And I kind of want to go off of Tennessee real quick. I have a few bills that I want to highlight, but to me, I want to focus in on Ryan Tannehill here, because I do think that, it's going to move one way or another. We're going to get this thing, whether it, if AJ Brown's playing, the passing yard total might go up. If he's not playing, it's going to go down. I feel like attacking it right now. For me, I'm looking at the under on his passing yards. I think I had it at 236.5. To me, he's only gone over that number twice this season. He's going up against the number one number one defense in DVOA, like you said. To me, that one makes all the sense in the world to go under, especially if you're talking about, no A.J. Brown or a limited A.J. Brown going up against a good defense. To me, that one I would like to go under on. And the other one, real quickly, the one I like the best with Ryan Tannehill is the under on his passing touchdowns at 1.5, because I believe he's only done it once this season. And if you're talking about Tennessee getting into the red area, what are they going to do? They're giving it to Derrick Henry 99% of the time. And if you, again, if you have limited receivers around you, it only more emphasizes that you're going to give it to Derrick Henry. So to me, I'm taking the under on Tannehill's passing yards and under on his touchdown prop.
We don't have, I don't think, on Caesars, you don't put carries on there, right?
Rushing attempts, yeah, they should have those.
How am I missing rushing attempts? I can't.
Right. I do actually. I know they have one on Zach Moss.
I know what happened. I was searching for Derrick Henry and it didn't pop up. That's weird that they don't have all the Derrick Henry props, but no Derrick Henry rushing attempts. Man, Zach Moss over 10.5 rushing attempts. That's a bet.
Yeah, love that.
If the Bills have a lead, he is getting to 11 rushing attempts. It's -135 to the over, but that line should be, I think, a lot higher. Yeah. I was going to suggest that Derrick Henry may be game script proof from a rushing attempt perspective, especially if AJ Brown is banged up, and that sort of similar to what we saw on Sunday Night Football, which was Alex Collins ran the football a ton, even when they were down 14-0. Right? They're not afraid to feed. The Seahawks aren't afraid to feed a running back with a deficit, and the Titans aren't either. They did that against the Seahawks, actually, when they were down big, and they gave the ball to Derrick Henry. So if you can find anything under, I don't know, I mean, what's the rushing attempt number going to be, like 19.5?
I was going to say 19.5 probably is where it sits, right?
Yeah, anything under 20 is absolutely a take for rushing attempt for carries for Derrick Henry. We had that with Najee Harris last night. It was 19.5 coming to that game. It's like that's. Yeah. He's just going to carry the ball 20 plus times. I wouldn't get in the way of that 97.5. I'm not taking the over on 97.5. That's just right. Insane. I mean,
you're just really, playing with fire there.
Yeah. Just step away from it in terms of that prop. One, I do think you can viably take the over on Derrick Henry receiving yards though at 13.5. He's just been involved in the passing game a lot more than he was really the entirety of his career. I don't know if this is an Arthur Smith thing or what it is, but he's getting targets and he's catching balls, and you can, 13.5 is a pretty high number for Derrick Henry, but we've seen him go 19, 55, 31, 20, zero against Jacksonville, but they beat him 37-19 and they didn't need to involve him in the passing game. His catch rate is really high this year, and I don't know that the sports books have caught up necessarily to the involvement of Derrick Henry in that passing game.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I mean, especially again, if they're limited in receiving weapons in this game, you need to get the ball into your playmaker's hands. And if you're in a game like against Buffalo, where we think that this, the Bills offense could get out to somewhat of a lead here, you might have to be forced into some passing situations where you can't exactly put the ball in Derrick Henry's hands, just handing it off to him. You might have to start incorporating him a little bit more into the passing game. So no, I can totally see a path to get there. To me, if we're looking at backfields, we were alluding to earlier, Zach Moss to me over 10.5. He's done it three carries in this game. He's done it three straight games coming into this. He's going up against the 27th ranked run defense in DVOA in the Titans this year. If the Bills get some sort of a lead, they're going to hand the ball off to Zach Moss. And not only, and he's obviously a part of this offense, but if you're talking about later in the game, second half, trying to kill clock, he's the guy that they're going to give it to in those situations.
Yeah, agreed completely. The over for Steph Diggs is 6.5 -150. That is, I love taking the over on Diggs in primetime in terms of receptions, but I don't think you can take that over.
I think for me, my favorite Bills receiver prop tonight is Emmanuel Sanders' longest reception, 22.5.
Okay.
He we saw last week at a 35-yard touchdown, and Josh Allen is throwing to him in a way that we haven't seen Emmanuel Sanders be used, quite before throughout his career. He has an A-dot of 16. He's got 9 targets this season of 20-plus yards. He's caught 5 of them. Tennessee is allowing 8.4 yards per pass, which is the 5th worst in the NFL. To me, he's used in this way. The Bills like to push the ball down the field. He's starting to kind of feel himself in this offense. To me, I could see them connecting on a deep one, maybe multiple times in this game.
Yeah, I like that. And I don't mind Emmanuel Sanders over 54.5 receiving yards as a whole. He, this guy's just a focal point of this offense at this stage of the game.
And you're starting to see him kind of take over from Cole Beasley too. He hasn't been as involved. He's starting to become that number two.
Yeah. When you look at what the Bills want to do, it's like Diggs is their, obviously their alpha, but they're willing to shift some of the plays towards, or Josh Allen's more willing to look towards Manny Sanders. And I think he provides a different element to that offense in the sense that he can stretch a little bit vertically. He's a great possession guy. He's a reliable route runner. And it allows with Gabe Davis and then they mix in McKenzie a little bit too, where they're sort of, you know, that third option deep threat guy that can be a factor there. Devin Singletary is not being used as much as he was. Like Zach Moss is really taking this thing over, but over 8.5 receiving yards for Devin Singletary, man, that's just one catch for a guy out of the backfield that I think they'll get involved. You know, at least, I mean, that's a low number. That's maybe, I think that's a target spot for me is what I'm saying, is that I think that they will target him. We've only seen three targets the last 3 weeks, but they've won 43-21, 40-0, and 38-20. They've been blowing teams out. So actually, you know what? Maybe that's a stay away if we think they're going to blow out Tennessee as well. Anything else that stands out to you?
I just think that they want to use Zach Moss. I mean, they clearly have brought him in. They want him to be that focal point in that backfield. They've tried it with Devin Singletary for the past 2 years.
Snaps are falling off a cliff in these blowout games.
And so I think that that's what we're looking at here with Moss. Again, if this is one of those tightly contested games, maybe you start to get, you know, use Singletary a little bit more. But if we're talking about a, you know, pretty convincing win here by Buffalo, you have to look at Zach Moss to say he's going to obviously be involved early, but towards the later portions of this game, he's just going to get a ton of touches to kill clock. The only other one that I want to point to with the Bills is Josh Allen over on his rushing yards. I had it at 31.5 minus 110. He's gone over that four of his five games this season in Tennessee. They just gave up, like, I think, what was it, 27 yards rushing to Trevor Lawrence. He's somewhat of a runner, but not as much as Josh Allen. To me, that one, I could totally see him going over this game tonight.
Yeah, and Allen, they did, for the first time, really, all year, they incorporated his rushing against Kansas City in primetime as a way to sort of attack that Kansas City defense and throw the Chiefs off their game. He had 11 designed runs, I believe, in that game. That's by far the most on the season. Had 9 in week one, but 5, 4, and 6 the other 3 weeks. So, yeah, primetime game. Maybe they come out and use that as sort of a initial, let's put Tennessee's defense on their heels, force them to think about Josh as a runner and make them, you know, come up and spread themselves a little bit horizontally. And that's, you can really disrupt a defense by doing that. So I am fine with that as well. I think, and like I said, we'll get to it in a second with the DFS, but man, I was just looking at those snap counts for Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. I mean, I don't know what the graph, what you would call the graph, but it's an inverse movement for both of those two guys. You know, Moss is just seeing his snap count skyrocket, and Devin Singletary is seeing his drop and crater. And it's partially game script, I would think. I mean, the Bills lost in week one to the Steelers, right? And have since gone 35-0, 43-21, 40-0, and 38-20. That week one game feels like 50 billion years ago, and it's just not reflective at all. You know, I think it still lingers a little bit in our heads, right?
Yeah.
But they have been stomping people since that week one loss.
And again, you know, we talk, you know, I said earlier, like, oh, well, they did beat, you know, Houston for another, but they're beating like Kansas City. They're beating good teams this year too. It's not like they're beating up on bad opponents. They're taking care of business on the road at Arrowhead Stadium. Not easy places to go and win football games, not only win football games, but win them convincingly. So, no, this team has really been blowing the doors off people as of late.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not good defenses. Like, Miami looks like they might be terrible. Yeah. Washington's defense is awful. Houston is garbage. Kansas City's defense stinks, but they smoked the Chiefs. I mean, that's bottom line. You know what? It doesn't
More
matter.
More impressive defensively that game than offensively.
For sure. But I'm saying it doesn't matter because they have Tennessee. Tennessee's a bad defense in week six. Then they have a bye, so there's no, like, look ahead here. They come out of their bye in week eight with Miami again. Miami's going to be reeling a desperate, like, you know, in a corner situation. And then they're
Miami's in a tough spot. They don't even have a bye going after this London game. So Miami is going to really be kind of limping into this, into the next few weeks here.
I'm not sure that the Bills, man, that Bills over 10.5 that I took in the offseason is
good.
I'm feeling pretty good about it. I mean, Miami, Jacksonville. Wait, are you kidding? Have you seen the schedule?
This is, yeah, it's
they have the Titans, then they're bye, then the Dolphins, Jaguars, and Jets. Those are literally the three worst teams in football.
It's kind of a gimme schedule.
And then they have the Colts, Saints, and Pats before the Week 14 matchup against the Bucs. Holy Moses. They close with the Panthers, Pats, Falcons, and Jets. There's two losable games left.
I've been watching this Patriots team all year. They're not going to lose any of those games.
They're not. The Patriots are. Oh my God. The Bills are waltzing to this one seed.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. No, it's, again, when you talk about it, this is what was so jarring about Kansas City, too, starting off so poor. You have all of these teams in the AFC West starting out pretty hot. Again, you know, Denver's cooled off and the Chargers look like they cooled off against the Ravens. But you had an opportunity to really kind of solidify yourself in this one seed. Now, if you're Kansas City, you can't even think about it right now. Buffalo clearly has this in hand. The only other team maybe that you're thinking about is Baltimore. I think Baltimore is
Baltimore's 5-1.
5-1. So,
yeah.
You know, but they're playing the Bengals this week. That's not a gimme game.
Baltimore has a much tougher schedule down the road than Buffalo.
No, this is clearly Buffalo's conference to lose, the number one seed to lose.
Yeah, and I really thought, too, that I was really – last week, and I've mentioned this several times, but I was really impressed with Josh Allen's post game when he came out and said, yeah, look, he came out and said, before being asked a question, you guys are going to make more out of this win than we are. We understand that, you know, we beat the snot out of Kansas City, but you know, you don't get the playoffs with one win. It's a long season. Man. Yeah. So anyway, I probably did a terrible job with the props this week. I've got Moss carries over, Henry receiving yards over. I like your Josh Allen. What do we say the rush yards was?
Yeah, I had it at 31.5. I don't know what it is currently at Caesars, but it's earlier. It's a lot, but he's gone over 4 out of 5 this year. I just feel like he is starting to just, or not starting, they just use him in that role.
Yeah. Hmm. 25.5 pass completions for him is probably a good number. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a tough game because of the AJ Brown situation.
Yeah.
Like we would have a lot more numbers out there to deal with if we knew about AJ Brown. So yeah, my two props at all. We're both on the Moss carries over, and I really like the Derrick Henry receiving yards over as options. You can go with you can certainly go with Zach Moss over rushing yards too.
Yeah,
if you think this is gonna be a blowout, he will go over 42.5, and the Titans won't be able to stop him.
Yeah, my favorite one is the Sanders again, longest reception over 22.5. It's just that one feels a little low too. Again, that one to me is my favorite out of the ones that I picked. The other thing that we want to point out quickly, it's tough, but we go over it every week. First touchdown prop. The only one that
you, Sully, driving the podcast is
don't worry.
Fall asleep on my microphone.
I'm here for you. I know you had a long night. The only one that I really am paying a little bit of attention to is Dawson Knox plus 10-1. That's the only one that I really, again, maybe Ryan Tannehill at plus 2,300. Yep. But those two, outside of that, I don't really love anything else. Knox, I mean, we really don't have to say too much. He's basically scored a touchdown in every single game he's played this year. He's like the Robert Tonyan of 2021. Like that's just who he is. Josh Allen.
Moss at 9-1 is not terrible.
No.
I prefer starting over 10-1 almost 90% of the time. But this is all right. So in a game that's 6 points, with the Bills are 6-point road favorites, Moss should be more like 7-1 based on where they Derrick Henry's 5-1. Like, I mean, I think that if the Bills defense is as good as we think it is, and my point being is I think Moss is going to get a ton of goal line carries. I'll take Allen. I hate 9-1, but Allen and Moss at 9-1 because that's who they're going to go. If the Bills get in the red zone and near the goal line, that's who they'll go with, and you're at least getting a little bit of value. Knox, I mean, 10-1. I remember the days when he was like 25-1. Well, halcyon days of Week 1. He is involved a lot more as a pass catcher. I agree with you on Tannehill at 23. Gabe Davis is probably a stab at 29. And I think that's probably it on the list that they have at Caesars.
Yeah, that's the only ones I'm really paying attention to.
Yeah. You know, it feels like we're on sort of a run. We had a few where there were quarterbacks rushing in there. If you got quarterbacks with rushing equity, like Tannehill and Josh Allen, and they're 10 to 1, 9 to 1 or better, you probably need to invest in them. Yeah, I like those. I think that's a good call. It's not a great market. Again, Julio Jones and AJ Brown aren't on, like, they should be pushing Dawson Knox down to
exactly
further down the board, and they're not on this list. So maybe wait and find out what AJ Brown's deal is. You know, if he came up at like 20 to 1 for whatever reason, that would be interesting, but I'm sure he won't. Long story short of this podcast, AJ Brown is making this a pain in our asses, is the bottom line. All right, so that is the Monday Night Football preview show. We will have, Sully and I will go over some DFS stuff on youtube.com/pick6. Go and check that out. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll keep this rolling for DFS in a second.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.